Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
All right, let's talk.
The Drive.
The best show in town.
On KFH.
Welcome back to Drive with Bob and Jeff, Jason Duda, Jeff Lutz. Today, on a Monday, Max got the music this week, presented by Bob and Luigi's, 45th North and Woodlawn in Bel Air. Welcome to your new addiction, Bob and Luigi's. Songs about California. My man is, there's California in that guy's brain. He might as well be living in California, because I don't think he thinks about anything else.
Who?
Max.
Max?
Yeah.
What about, that's on the other side of the coast from Boston.
Well, he's a California guy. He likes both. He's stuck
in the
middle.
He can't like both.
California.
Oh, California driver's license.
That's California Saga by the Beach Boys. Good sound. Good start to the week. Another good start to the week is talking to Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle and Kansas.com. Taylor, how's it going this afternoon?
It's going pretty well. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Glad to have you. You were at the Nico Hernandez fight the other day. We'll also talk to you about Wichita State, of course. That's your beat for the Wichita Eagle. But you saw Nico win the IBA Flyweight Championship of the World the other night in Mulvane at the Kansas Star Arena. What were your impressions of that fight? Just he continues to overmatch his early opponents.
Yeah, his power is just kind of overwhelming, and that's the thing. That's been the common theme with every one of these opponents is, you know, there's a lot of hype going into the fight with Nico, and then I think they don't really understand just how hard he hits for a 112-pounder, and until they get in the ring with him and feel that first punch. I mean, you've seen a couple of these guys, they get hit once, and you can kind of tell they don't want any part of it afterward, and that was kind of the case on Saturday night, was that, you know, Nico caught him with a couple of really nice left jabs, left hooks, and, you know, after a few of them, he didn't want any part of it. He kind of laid down, and I mean, there wasn't really like one like huge knockout punch. It was just kind of a flurry, and then after he got hit once, he did not want to get back up. And yeah, it was a pretty quick fight. You know, first round knockout, first world title fight in Kansas history, and Nico gets another belt. You mentioned just how everyone's kind of been overwhelmed. Well, like, after the fight, he kind of called out a 2-time Olympian and Patty Barnes, who is a big-time boxer out of Ireland. And if that fight happens, that's a big-time fight. That's one that everyone wants to see. And, you know, some people have kind of questioned, you know, just how good of an opponent Nico has fought so far. Well, if he fights Patty Barnes, I mean, there's no one that's going to be questioning how good Patty Barnes is. So that's a fight that I'm really excited to see if it gets scheduled. And then secondly, where is it? I mean, are they going to bring it here to Kansas? Is he going to go over to Ireland? Is it in Vegas, something like that? So that's something to definitely keep an eye on for maybe early 2019.
Well, obviously, you know, like you said, and people are talking about his opponents, is he going to stick around and fight a couple other guys? Is there anybody else out there that can challenge him at this point, or is there a possibility that he could move up in a weight class? Like, what else is there besides Patty Barnes with where he's at right now?
Yeah, I mean, he's going to have to leave. I don't think very many of these top-level guys are going to come to, you know, the Kansas Star to fight him. So, I mean, he's going to have to leave eventually if he's going to start fighting, you know, bigger-name guys. And even, I mean, he has two belts, but still there's so many belts out there in terms of where he is on the world rankings in 112. I mean, he still has a way to go up. So he said after the fight, he plans on sticking around in the 112 weight class, fighting other flyweights, and just getting more belts. And, you know, this is extremely fast for a boxer to even be in the conversation for that. So, you know, his Olympic status has kind of, you know, opened the door for him. But, you know, Nico's just, you know, he's walking through it and taking every advantage, and he looks the part for sure. So I think what you'll see now is that he's going to start traveling, start going on the road, fighting on bigger cards where he's not the main event. And he's going to kind of work his chops up that way. And I think, like I said, I think it sounds like what they're going to try to do is try to get him and Patty Barnes on the same card, not necessarily fighting each other, but just get them on the same card, kind of build the hype. And then after that fight, then make the fight with him and Barnes. And like I said, it sounds like it's going to be sometime in early 2019. So that's something that Nico fans can start to look forward to.
Talking with Taylor Eldridge from the Wichita Eagle. Taylor, Nico, how are you 112 pounds? How is an adult that weight, and how does he stay at that weight? It seems almost impossible for someone to be walking around at 112 pounds, because he doesn't walk around at much more than that anyway.
Yeah, well, I mean, I covered him in high school, and he was actually a really good cross country runner. So, you know, he's just been kind of slight build. You know, he's not a huge guy, and he does. I mean, you have to give him a lot of credit with his training. He has a really good trainer, and I know they do a lot of work to keep him, you know, where he's not having to cut an insane amount of pounds. So I think that's just a testament to, you know, just how much he wants this and how seriously he takes being a professional. And yeah, you know, it's, you know, 112, that's pretty tiny. So I mean, he's gonna move up eventually, but I think when he's this young and, you know, this in shape, I think right now he wants to take advantage of just how hard he hits at the 112, because not a lot of guys at that level can kind of match his power.
But so, you know, his fights have been here in Wichita, basically. He needs to go out and let everybody else see him and find some different fights. I mean, with what he has right now and how good he's been, the only way he's going to know where he's at is to leave and find tougher fights. But where is he going to go to find those?
Yeah, I mean, that's the next question. So they've kind of fed him these main event fights at the Kansas Star and a couple times at Hartman. So I think he's kind of proven himself there. He's kind of built the fan base in Wichita, and yeah, it'll be interesting to see where he goes from here. I mean, if he they're talking about maybe fighting one more time in 2018, maybe sometime in the winter or the fall. You know, not a lot of, I mean, he didn't take any hits. It only lasted 253, so it's not like he is really having to recover very much from that fight. But, you know, the training camp is very, you know, exhausting, and he'll have to, you know, take a couple days, maybe a week off, and get back to the grind. But, yeah, they haven't, you know, said anything right now. They're just kind of seeing what kind of happens with the Patty Barnes thing, and it'll be interesting to see if he does go on the road and start branching out, or if he fights one more time. But, you know, it's pretty clear that people in Wichita need to, you know, kind of take notice and appreciate what they have right now. I mean, because he's, you know, he's skyrocketing right now in the world of boxing. And, you know, maybe someday he does come back and have a big time fight at the Kansas Star Casino. But, you know, this guy is kind of destined for stardom, and people need to kind of appreciate him before he's gone and has to move on and start fighting at bigger venues.
Guest is Taylor Eldridge. He covers Wichita State athletics for the Wichita Eagle and Kansas.com. Taylor, let's put a wrap on Wichita State's softball season. They go to the regional final. They're third in the American Conference. Is that something that you believe is sustainable long term? And how big of a leap did that program make this year?
Yeah, absolutely. There's no question. This is the best season in Wichita State softball history. I mean, you look at the final record. I think they were like 34-23, and that doesn't sound like a you know, outstanding record. But this is a team that played a top 20 schedule in the country and still came away with 34 wins. And you know, they took a huge step up in the American this year and played for a conference championship on the last day of the regular season. They made it to the NCAA regionals, where they'd only won one game in the whole program's history. They ended up winning two this past weekend. They swept Oklahoma State, which had a really, really nice team. They were top 25 for most of the season. They beat Oklahoma State four times this year, two times in Arkansas, and gave Arkansas, which is a top 15 team, you know, a heck of a game there in the regional final, and just came up a little short. But I mean, they got the ball rolling. Christy Breadbinner has done a wonderful job there to build that program. And, you know, they only lose three seniors. You know, yes, Mackenzie Wright's going to be really, really hard to replace. She's the American Player of the Year. And, you know, Paige Llewellyn had some big moments in the outfield. But, you know, this is a team that returns basically seven starters, all of the pitching staff. So I think this is kind of the jumping off point for Wichita State. And they're going to keep it going in years coming. And it's a really exciting team to watch and a really exciting brand of softball. So they're fun to watch. And if people watch this weekend, that's, you know, there's going to be more moments like that to come in the coming years.
Well, I'm one of those guys that actually did watch this weekend because I knew they were on at 1:30 on Sunday. I was at the house hoping I'd get the game, but I was watching ESPN, and obviously they were jumping back and forth. So I saw a little bit of the games. Hopefully they can keep things going because they had a great season, but I want to ask you about the men's baseball, and what do you think about an at-large bid?
Yeah, I mean, right now it's looking like they're on the outside looking in terms of a large berth. And you know, it's kind of strange because you look at, you know, 34 wins I think they have right now, and you know, a top 35, I think top 40 RPI, which sounds good. But you know, the record in conference is really holding them back. They look at, you know, they ended up only winning, you know, two series in conference play, and you know, they had a losing conference record, and that's really being held against them. But you know, they have a lot of really good midweek wins. They beat South Florida on a Friday, so. I mean, the potential is there, and I think they're hoping they obviously have to make a run in the conference tournament. You know, you're thinking probably have to make it to at least the semifinals, maybe the finals, just to be in the conversation to get an at-large berth. So, I mean, they're going to really have to turn it on this weekend, and, you know, it's supposed to rain all week in Florida, so it'll be interesting to see if they can get those games in. But, you know, this is a big week for Wichita State baseball. You know, you're not going to have a better team than they have this year with Alec Bohm and Grayson Genista and guys like that who are first-round draft picks. So, you know, they need to make the most of this, and, you know, hopefully they can make a run this week and make things interesting. But right now, they're on the outside looking in. They're not really on any projections for NCAA Regional. So they're going to have to win a couple games. Like I said, probably make it to at least the conference championship game to get a sniff of a net large bid.
Taylor, I don't know, before we let you go, I don't know how much you've checked into it, but what are you hearing the latest about Alec Bohm's potential draft status? I've seen him up to second, potentially, not number one, but he's going to go in the top five almost for sure. Is that pretty much what you're hearing?
Yeah, that's what it's looking like. He's pretty much unanimous number five. Like you said, I've seen him a lot at number three, I think, to the Tigers, and yeah, as high as number two. So his draft stock has soared. This spring, I think scouts are really excited about just how good of an eye he has. I mean, you look at his walk to strikeout ratio, it's very good. People love the power he brings, and, you know, the fielding at third base. And I think he's really, really helped his draft stock coming in. I mean, he was looking kind of like a late first rounder, mid first rounder coming into the season. He's just had such a good year. That he's really played his way into that top five conversation. And, he's going to make himself a lot of money come June.
Taylor, we appreciate it as always. Good luck with the Shockers. Are you going down to wherever they're – is it Orlando?
They're playing in Clearwater.
Okay.
I'm not going to make it down there. If they make it to a regional, I'll probably be there. But, just a lot of coverage from here. Kind of wrap up the softball season and their historic season. And, you know – basketball is looking for an assistant coach. It sounds like they've kind of found their guy, just waiting to make it official. So there'll be some news this week, I'm sure, for Wichita State.
Sounds good. Still a lot to cover. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. Sounds good. Thank you.
Taylor Eldridge, Wichita Eagle, Kansas.com. Debrief it in 30 seconds or less.
Debrief it?
Yeah, debrief it. That's your job on this show.
To debrief what he said.
To debrief interviews, to sum it up.
Well, obviously he knows exactly what he's talking about.
No doubt.
The women's softball, see, I enjoyed watching it Sunday because back home in Canada, I go back to Canada a lot, obviously, but softball when I was growing up was huge. Fastball was huge. It was bigger than baseball was.
Fast pitch, is that what you're trying to say?
Yeah. Well, we called it fastball. Is that wrong?
Really?
That's what we call it, fastball.
That's dead wrong.
We called it fastball. That's what we called it. We all played it. That's just the way it was. I enjoyed the game.
Could you pitch?
I couldn't pitch. I could not pitch.
But you okay hitting?
Not at all. I was okay hitting, but, man, I'll tell you what, it was tough because they used to have that curl hop in there years and years ago. So those guys that were 6'6 hopping off there, they're throwing that ball at you from about 40 feet.
I'd be scared
to
death.
And you're swinging and hoping half the time.
Oh, my
those guys that are rifling that ball in there. But it was fun. I really enjoyed it. I played in the
I knew there was something about Canada.
I played in Nationals one year when I was 23 in the Junior Nationals. It was a huge deal back home. It was a lot of fun. I enjoy the game. I really, really enjoy that game.
All your sports are aggressive. That's the secret of Canada. Well, you have this image of nice and friendly, but 40 mile an hour fast pitch or 40 feet fast pitch softball, hockey. I mean, I don't like it. I don't care for it.
You don't like the aggressive stuff? You can't handle that? You want to be in your couch with your little whoopee and your pillow and be happy?
Exactly. Jesse.
Come on. Come on, Jeff.
Sorry about
Step
that.
Out of the box a little bit.
You know me.
Step out of the box.
Jesse Newell from the Kansas City Star will join us up next. He'll talk about the Kansas Athletic Director Shane Singer fired today. They're going to be looking for a new athletic director, potentially a new football coach. We'll talk to Jesse about it when we return. It's a Drive with Bob and Jeff on KFA.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.